Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I am the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, a website, a podcast, and an app. Today, I want to talk about something that every listener is probably going to relate to if you're going through a divorce or you've been divorced, and that's anxiety. I think anxiety affects everyone in this world, but when you're going through a divorce, it could be more than normal for many, many reasons. And to talk about anxiety, not only for you going through a divorce, but also for your kids, I have a great guest on the show. Her name is Molly Kopp. Molly is a nationally certified counselor. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology, and she's a graduate of the Family Institute at Northwestern University. So hi, Molly.
Hi, Jackie.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so looking forward to talking with you.
I'm so excited, too. I think this is such a good topic, and as you said, so relevant for so many people.
Right. So Molly has a specialty. She works with kids, adolescents, and young adults, and her clinical interests include mood and anxiety disorder in children and teens. So Molly is extremely experienced working with kids, but she's also going to talk about anxiety for anyone going through a divorce. Okay, so Molly, I want to start by asking you, when people go through a divorce, like, why is there so much anxiety? And start with the person getting divorced and then tell me about the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think there's so much anxiety in response to a divorce just because all of the life changes that are occurring. When we think about anxiety, we can really think about it as a typical reaction to stress. So when we feel stressed, if things feel unpredictable, if things feel out of control, then our minds can resort to anxiety. It's really our minds protecting us from a perceived danger. But oftentimes when we feel anxiety, it might not be really, when we think about kind of what we're responding to in an anxious way, it might, our reaction might be a little bit bigger just due to this feeling of anxiety, if that makes sense.
Right. And what about the kids?
Yeah. So for kids, I mean, they kids are smart, right? I think kids are a lot smarter than we often give them credit for. And I think kids can really feel these changes that occur in the family, whether it be they notice changes in just how their parents interact with each other, how their parents spend time together. But then also there's the bigger things like moving homes, maybe moving schools, changing in the changes in their social life, changes in the neighborhood. All those things are really a cause of stress. We're not used to them. And then since it's stress, it can sometimes turn into a bigger thing, which we like to call anxiety.
So isn't it amazing at how kids are really perceptive, so much more than we all think, and they might realize that their parents are getting a divorce before even the parents do sometimes, or really early on, even when the parents first start talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I've worked with many different kids who parents oftentimes say, you know, we told our kid about our divorce and we're so surprised at their response. They said they already knew. So it really is amazing just how, as you said, how perceptive kids are on these just small shifts in their normal life.
And when so these the small shifts. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the anxiety might be coming from the sadness that they're seeing their mother or their father experiencing, right? I mean, so that could be a cause of anxiety for kids too.
Absolutely,
like if
yeah.
If mom and dad aren't happy, this kid is stressed out about it.
Right, right. And yeah, so that they can pick up on these different emotional feelings that their parents are feeling. They might pick up on these odd dynamics that haven't typically happened. And those definitely cause anxiety. And I think what we can attribute that to is just kind of this loss of predictability. Things are changing that brings stress and therefore that can bring an anxious response.
Right. Okay. So I wrote an article a little while back called Dealing with Divorce Anxiety. And I identified 9 things that you might be thinking during your divorce that might cause stress. And what I want to do is go through these 9 things, and then I want Molly to comment and give her expertise on a few of these things. Okay, so ready? So the first one is, every time things start to get better, something happens and it sets me back. So have you seen that, Molly, with people?
Yes, definitely. And it can, yeah. So, I mean, someone might feel like, wow, things have been going really great this week. I'm feeling really happy. Maybe I'm not even feeling anxious anymore. And then something small might happen and kind of take us right back to that place of anxiety.
Right. Right. Like you could get a letter from your ex's attorney that is changing the case and it would set you off. Or absolutely. You find out your ex is dating somebody and you're just shocked, you know? Number 2 is, I'm really scared. So tell me about fear and anxiety.
Yeah. So as we look at the definition of anxiety, what anxiety is really this excessive fear. So fear is, in some ways, fear is adaptable. Like when we were all cavemen, fear was really adaptable in helping us survive, helping us avoid danger. Oftentimes, our nervous systems might mistake a threat or a fear as something dangerous that's going to happen. So it's really, really common for us to kind of respond in these anxious ways when we feel fearful.
Well, the best example I can think is if you're a nervous flyer, you know, you're on an airplane, you hit a few bumps, you get really scared, and you start feeling anxious, but really there's no danger.
Exactly. Exactly. But our minds don't know that. Our minds kind of have a hard time on an unconscious level differentiating between what is actually a threat versus what is maybe not as much of a threat. Our nervous system still respond to those threats in the same way, whether it be like a small threat or a big threat.
Right.
Because we can't really differentiate.
And talking about fear and divorce, some of the things people fear are fear of being alone, fear that they're ex is going to move on and they never will. Fear of finances, fear of selling the home. I mean, I could go on and on. So there's so many fears that go with the unknown of being divorced.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So next I want to move on to my financial picture seems bleak. And what I always advise people who have anxiety about finances in a divorce or for any reason, is that the best thing you can do to alleviate your fear and anxiety when it comes to finances is meet with a financial planner or a wealth management advisor or both. They often work as a team. And what a financial planner can do is educate you on yourself, your finances, so that you have the whole picture. You know exactly how much you're making. You know what you're spending. I shouldn't say exactly. Just even if you have a ballpark idea, it helps you. It empowers you to know what you need to do as far as budgeting, saving money, maybe making more money. So that's my advice for that. And once you know the picture, even if it's not so great, and I can speak from personal experience on this, you will feel so much less anxious about it because at least you know and you can do something about it. All right, moving on to number 4. I hope my divorce doesn't affect my children in a negative way. Okay, Molly, this is all you.
So totally a normal fear to have. It's kind of right. The breaking apart of parents that's not really why we ended up having kids or why we ended up getting married is thinking that it will end in a divorce. And I think something people often say, and I think part of it's a very big part of it's true, is that kids are so resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so true. But I think also we should take it even further than that and just think about regulation and predictability. So by being regulated in clinical terms kind of means our nervous system is not acting up. It's not sensing danger. We're just at baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So we might feel very regulated when we wake up in the morning or when we're taking a shower or when we're talking to a friend. And we might feel more dysregulated maybe when we receive a letter from the attorney or when we see our partner out with someone else. So as we think about regulation, it's really, really important to show our kids that we're regulated. If we aren't regulated, if we're worked up, if we're feeling anxious, then our kids are going to pick up on that, and then they too are going to feel some similar feelings with that.
100%. I agree. Like, you know, I remember when my kids were little, they would look at my face. Actually, I shouldn't say that. They're teenagers and they still look at my face to see what my reaction is, because they're thinking, if she's okay with this, everything's going to be okay. If I look really, really scared, that's going to cause them a lot of stress.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it's so normal to be dysregulated, especially in times that there's big life changes happening. So it's not something that we necessarily need to get rid of, being dysregulated, but I think it's really important for parents to kind of learn, okay, I'm feeling dysregulated. Now it's time for me to step out and take a break. Maybe it's time to go on a walk. Maybe it's time to do some deep mindful breathing, something just to get us out of that dysregulated state.
On that note, I want to mention the Center for Divorce Education, which is a company that produces an online parenting class called Children in Between. Children in Between is a 4-hour parenting class. It is required in Cook County, and if you're getting divorced, and also some other surrounding Chicago counties. It's the best class out there. I've seen it. And basically what it does, so I guess my point is even if you are not required to take this class, I would highly recommend it, because what it does is teaches parents how to talk in front of their kids and tells them what to do and not to do and what is going to hurt kids and what is going to help kids in divorce. So I would highly recommend it. It's called Children in Between. Okay, moving on to number 5. When it comes to dating, relationships can be complicated, and loving again takes vulnerability and courage, which I don't know if I have. So Molly, how do we deal with that anxiety?
Yeah, I think in that, and that's a tough one, right? Because I think there's no rule of thumb for kind of, okay, this is what you should do. But I think it's more about knowing ourselves. Do we feel like we have the emotional space to date? And if not, then maybe that's where that anxiety is coming from and going out with this new person. I think it's really important for us to kind of take a good look at ourselves and get in touch with our emotions and our own feelings and think, what is the point of me dating again? Is it because I really want someone? Is it, you know, to get back at my ex-husband that I want to start dating people? What is kind of the intent behind it? And I think just thinking about those things and thinking about our own feelings and kind of motives for dating can really help us know if we're doing it for the right reason. And I think anxiety is also so typical when we start dating again. It's a new thing. It's a new experience. It's something we're not necessarily comfortable or familiar with. So of course that causes a degree of anxiety.
Right. And great points. And I want to piggyback on that and just say also, a lot of anxiety goes away when you take the pressure off yourself and say, you know what, I don't have to date right now. If I don't want to date and I want to wait a year, no big deal. Wait as long as you want. You don't ever have to date. Don't put pressure on yourself like, well, you know, I need to meet someone because I'm getting older or my ex is already getting remarried. So I think when you take that pressure off, that relieves a lot of anxiety too.
Absolutely.
Okay, number 6, dealing with my ex can be so difficult. Big stressor.
Mm-hmm. A huge stressor. Huge stressor. And I think that it makes sense that there's anxiety here too, when we're not sure how our ex might respond. We're not sure kind of what their intentions are. It can be really easy to fall into this trap of fear, this trap of anxiety. And again, I think it's just really important, going back to being regulated, it's really important that when we're in these high conflict or high emotional situations, we want to make sure we're regulated. When we're regulated, we're able to use our logical brains to think and to behave and to speak rather than using our emotional brains.
And also what I always tell people is you can only control yourself and how you're going to act. You can't control your ex or what he or she is going to say or do or say to the kids or say to someone else. So let that part go and it'll alleviate a lot of anxiety, because you'll realize that you're not trying to control something that you can't.
Absolutely. I love that.
Okay, number 7. It's hard to be a single mom or dad and I feel alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Can you have anxiety from feeling alone?
Absolutely. One of the biggest predictors in kind of being able to combat that anxiety and come through it resiliently is having a community and having that social support. So I would really encourage people who are going through a divorce, people who are feeling anxious due to divorce, to find their people and find a place where they feel like they belong and they feel that they're heard. Having a community is one of the best buffers against stress. So it's super important during this time with high emotions and lots of change to have that community to fall back on and have that community there to support you. And you know they hear you and they believe in you and they're there for you.
Well, it's interesting, Molly, because that's why I started the Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group page. And there are over 2,000 members now, and it is completely closed. The group is closed, meaning you have to ask me to join, and I will accept you if I know you're there for the right reasons. And then people talk to people, and it's become this online community where somebody posts something like saying, "Oh, my ex did this, and I'm so upset." And then 15 people reply within 10 minutes saying, "I've had the same thing happen to me. Here's how I dealt with it." It's really been a wonderful resource. So if anybody's interested, just go to Facebook and then look up the Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group page. Okay, moving on to number eight. My ex is in a relationship and I'm still single. Does that cause stress?
Absolutely. I think this can cause a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety. And I think what kind of the core or where these things kind of come from is our beliefs about ourselves. So if we see our partner in another relationship and we're not in a relationship, we might think, oh my gosh, I'm not worthy. Oh my gosh, I'm not dateable. Oh my gosh, nobody likes me. And these negative thoughts can really turn into a cycle. So it's really important that we notice those thoughts as we start to have them and challenge them. Well, just because my partner's dating or my ex-partner's dating, does that really mean it's true that I'm not lovable? No, those things are totally separate from each other. So it's really important to kind of be critical of our thoughts and look at them and think, okay, is this realistic or am I just being too hard on myself?
Right, great point. And also, why am I competing with my ex? Who cares if he or she's in a relationship? He's on his path, I'm on mine, and I need to do what's best for me.
Absolutely.
Okay, last
Yes.
one. This is the hardest. Getting older isn't easy. So, Molly, this is something you don't know about. But I can speak firsthand. Do you think that people get stressed and have anxiety about just aging? And I mean,
Yeah, I think absolutely. Again, like anxiety is a very typical reaction to stress, and we often feel stressed when we don't know kind of what's happening, what's next. So it's so normal to feel anxious as we get older, whether those be anxieties related to just kind of us and our changing bodies, or maybe more us and kind of how are we going to fit in the world as we get older? What's it going to be like as we get older? Who's going to be there to support us as we get older? Those are all very big, I think, almost existential questions. So of course they cause some degree of anxiety.
So you're going back to that, the unknown, really. It's just another form of being stressed and having anxiety about something that is unknown. Okay, I
Absolutely.
want to move on and I want to ask you something. So anxiety can show up in many ways, physically and emotionally, in adults and children. And what are some of the ways that you see people stress and anxiety show up in people, physically and emotionally?
Totally, totally. This is a great question. So, just as we go back and think about the definition of anxiety, it's excessive worry or fear. So, oftentimes, it's really normal to feel worried or fearful to some extent. I think it kind of becomes a clinical concern when we think about how we're functioning in daily life. Is my anxiety or my worry preventing me from going to the grocery store? Is my anxiety or my worry preventing me from dating? All these different things are really important to consider because, to some degree, fear and worry are normal, but anxiety is fear, worry, and fear like on steroids. It's huge. It's a huge worry. It's a huge fear. So, we really need to pay attention to how this worry and fear is impacting our daily life and just going to work, going about our daily activities.
Okay, and what are some, I've heard everything from stomach pain, headaches, weight loss, weight gain. What are some of the things that you've seen in adults and children that show up physically from stress?
Absolutely. So feeling restless or feeling on edge at all times is kind of a big one. Just always feeling like you're kind of ready to jump. Like, for example, if someone touches your shoulder and you jump, you might feel a little restless or on edge.
You just
Another.
described my dog. That's exactly how my dog is, and I'm kind of getting worried.
Well, I wish I was a dog. I wish I was a therapist for dogs, but I'm not, so I can only speak to the humans. But yeah, feeling restless and on edge is like a very big mental part of anxiety. There's also difficulty concentrating, difficulty sleeping, maybe increased irritability. And you're so right, there's somatic symptoms that go along with feeling anxiety, and those can look like stomach aches, migraines, weight gain, weight loss, all those things you said. And then another thing I think to really look out for, especially when we're thinking about kids and just our concern about our kids, is thinking about, okay, how are their grades? Have their grades decreased? Have they, not been as good as they were previously? Is my kid still hanging out with their friends? Are they still interested in what they used to be interested in? All these things are really important to consider, because withdrawing or maybe not showing up as much as strongly as they used to in terms of social life or academic life, those can really show that there's something going on in the background, and that might look like anxiety.
And also excessive drinking in kids or adults, excessive pot smoking, that could be one. So maybe addiction or just, trying to numb your pain with pills or something else.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to what are some things that people can do to reduce anxiety. Let's think about our list of 9 things that I went over and like, what do you do? What are some things you can do when you're feeling just so anxious and upset and you don't know what to do?
Yeah, totally. So, and I know too, when we feel so anxious and so upset, it can be really hard to get ourselves moving and get ourselves to do these things. I would encourage people to just try these things once. I think you'll find once you get started in a community, or once you kind of start going on a walk every time you feel anxious, those things might become more enjoyable as you find, like, oh wow, after I go on my walk when I feel anxious, I feel so much more regulated and so much calmer. So these things can be hard to kind of start, but I think they're so important. And once we try them, it's like, oh my gosh, I wish I was doing this earlier. So some of those things that I'm talking about include like finding a community, like I said, for both kids and adults, finding a community. It could be a support group. It could be, a girls group. It could be a book club. It could be a sports team. Whatever that looks like, even at work, people can find community. But just having that support system, again, is so important.
Right. And Molly, you don't mean just a support system to talk about your divorce. That's not what we're talking about. I mean, it could be, but a support group that is like an escape, like a book
Exactly.
club or something that you're interested in. You're going to talk about the book and then you're not going to be thinking about the divorce. You're actually going to be enjoying your life, which is going to reduce your stress.
Absolutely. And also help you kind of lean into yourself more and lean into yourself as an individual by finding communities where you feel like you belong, or finding people who share similar interests with you. You can really build up yourself and kind of become, your own person, and not feeling like you're broken. Instead, you're full. You're finding new hobbies. You're finding new things you like to do, and those things make you happy. That can be so rewarding.
Okay, talk to me about yoga and meditation because people roll their eyes and say, eh, forget it. But it is so helpful.
Is so powerful. And that goes along with get moving. I think yoga, especially when we think about having that mind-body connection and just kind of being in that space of flow, that's so good for our brains. And also like that mindfulness piece, even as we think about meditating or mindful breathing, those things can be really hard to begin, and you might be kind of slow to feel the results, but as you continue and doing that consistently, you really get into a groove of it. And it's so important. Mindfulness is so important as we think about being dysregulated. Mindfulness is one way that we're really able to control our bodies and control our minds. It's actually one of the only ways. So by breathing slowly, by being mindful, we can kind of get ourselves down to baseline and not feel so dysregulated and so disheveled, if that makes sense.
Well, it's interesting. I want to bring up a tip that I learned a couple years ago, called 5-7-8 breathing. And if anybody's listening to this and you're going through a divorce and there's times that you feel panicked, like you just don't even know what to do because you have so much anxiety, I want you to take a break, go to like a quiet place, even like your bedroom or something, and just breathe. Or if you're in your office, go outside. And 5-7-8 means you inhale for 5 seconds, you hold it for 7 seconds, and you exhale for 8 seconds, and do that like 4 times. And it completely makes a difference. Like, so you will feel so much better after. I know this from personal experience. You can even do it in your car at like stoplights and things. So
that's a great one. That's a really great one.
Anything else before we move on?
Yeah, I would love to add, I have another kind of exercise to share that's really similar to what you just shared, Jackie, but I call it the 5-finger grounding exercise. So kind of what we do is if we look at our 5 fingers, first we name 5 things we can see, then we name 4 things we can hear, then we name 3 things we can smell, 2 things we can touch, 1 thing we can taste. And that's another really great way to just get your senses involved and kind of become more mindful and more present in the moment. And in turn, that can reduce anxiety, as you said.
Okay, so I love this. I've never heard this before. Can you mix up the senses?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely recommend having taste be the last one, because sometimes it's hard to find 4 or 5 things you can taste in your immediate environment. But yeah, absolutely. Any order of the senses is great.
And that makes a lot of sense, because you are basically going back to your basic life, right? I mean,
yes.
And when you go back to your basic life, nothing seems important anymore. You know, like you just are happy that you can see things. And I'm sure when people describe what they're seeing like the sky, the, you know, the flowers, my dog, my son, my daughter, whatever. And so you're right. What you're doing is you're promoting somebody to go back to basics, think about the gratitude you have for simple things that you can see, hear, touch, feel, everything.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really a powerful experience.
I love that.
It's really powerful. It's a great tool.
Okay, so in closing, I want to thank Molly for being here. Molly, you're so great. And I think that if anyone is interested, Molly is a therapist at the Center for Divorce Recovery / Affiliates in Counseling, and they have offices in Chicago, Naperville, and Northbrook. And Molly sees people remotely on Zoom or in the Northbrook office. So if you're interested, definitely get in touch with Molly Kopp. And Molly, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie. This was so great.
And one thing I wanted to mention before we sign off here is that I talked about stress when it comes to your finances. And I wanted to say that my financial planners are Elaine Moss and Pete Mullins at Fester Capital. I have been partners with them for almost 6 years. They are a Divorce Girl Smiling partner, and I am a client. And I have to say, they did a whole financial plan for me. It completely reduced my stress level, and they are wonderful, wonderful, warm people who care, who are very smart, and who give great advice. So Vester Capital, I'd highly recommend. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast. If you want to learn more, go to divorcegirlsmiling.com.